What a great crowd. Hi, how are you? I'll pray for you. Thank you so much. Yes. Amen. Eight-pound cyst? Yeah, I would imagine she just gave birth. Lord, some of you don't have babies that weigh 8 pounds. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. No cancer. That's awesome. Infection we can deal with. The cancer you can't deal with. I hate that word. Cancer. You hear that, just scares you to death. I hate that word. Man, lie. Can't wait till that's all over with. I'm going to tell you right now, I saw something this morning, and I was amazed that a child had mind control over me this bad, okay? You laugh, but wait till I'm done, because you were mind controlled too. A little girl was walking up and down this aisle. You may have seen her. Little Maria. Sweet little girl. And every one of us, and I include you because this is funny, whatever she does, you do. That's mind control. She has you right here. She goes like this, what do you do? She goes like this, what do you do? She has got us right here, Karen. Right here. Whatever. I don't care if she would pick her nose. You'd go, yeah. That little girl is smart. She knows. Doesn't matter who she goes up to you like this. You go like this. I saw Marlena. She was going like this. That's awesome. What a good Baptist she is. Yay. Amen. Yo, she should say amen all the time. We all be amen right with her. Maria's mind control. She's something else. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. Just when your life's going bad, read Job. That's the answer for most preachers. When your life's going bad, read Job. At least you got some things working for you. Job chapter 10, verse 1. I'm just going to read one verse if you'd stand with me, please. Job chapter 10, verse 1. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Let's pray. Lord, please, be with us in a special way today. I believe this message is needed. I believe this is something that we need to hear from you today. Lord, please let us hear it. Open up hearts and minds today to this message, Lord. I really believe this is something that we can use. Lord, help us. Always my prayer before I preach. Lord, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything through this message today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning, The Liberty of the Worthless. The liberty of the worthless. In Job chapter 10, verse 1, how many have said in one word or another, my soul is weary of my life. I am tired. I've given all I can give, God. Lord, I've put it out there for you, but Lord, every step I take, it seems like I meet with a barrier. Lord, every time I try to do something for you, I get whacked down with something else. And Lord, my past life comes back in, and Lord, something comes in, and I can't just move forward. Lord, why can't I move forward? My soul is weary of my life. I'm tired. Lord, I'm desperate. Today, I will leave my complaint upon myself. It's got to be my fault. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. And Lord, I need your help. I want to talk to you this morning about the liberty of the worthless. There's great freedom in being worthless. There's great freedom. Please, don't just disregard that statement. You'll understand in a little while how great it is to be worthless, how great it is to be needy. Please hear this today. I believe it can help you. How many could say that Job probably went through more, except for Jesus Christ, than anyone that walked this earth? And there's been people that have gone through amazing things. I can't even grasp what some of you strong Christians have gone through. Robin and Coolidge have lost a small army of people to funerals in the last couple years. People all throughout the auditorium today have just had times in their life when you throw up your hands and say, I'm weary of my soul. I'm so tired. Well, Job went through some things. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe what gets Job through them, you don't find until you get through some of the things that he went through. See, the finish line in a race is not where you start. Boy, that seems simple, doesn't it? But the finish line of your life is not the starting line. The finish line is where you've gone through the race to get to it. And to be real honest with you, even the race is not your life. The race is just the end. The race is just after you've trained and conditioned yourself to be a runner or to be a somebody that races for anything. It seems to me that you have to exercise and train, and there's a lot of heartache and torture that you go through to get yourself even to the ability to run. And then when you finally get yourself to run the race is not that easy. Not one time in the scripture does it ever promise that our lives will be easy. The question I have for you is, would you trade this hard life for any other life that's out there today? Now, the reason I say that is this. I can't go through what Mark and Betty have to go through. It's not my life. Their life is not mine. And I want you to hear this today, because this is a very important lesson. What we deem in our lives to be simple problems in other people's lives may not be simple in their life. Just because we look at something and say, man, that doesn't seem like that'd be that hard. You know, I don't know why they're complaining so much, because I just don't think that would be that hard. You're not living that. When you start to live that life, then you can tell me how hard or easy it is. Understand this. We live in a room right now full of people that have broken hearts. We live in a room full of people right now that have problems, and they're not easy problems. And I would bet that if I asked you to raise your hand, tell me who's having a hard time right now, everybody's hands would go up like this. But understand this. There's liberty in being worthless. There's liberty in finding out that you can't do anything apart from Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. Turn to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. This is kind of a side note, but it kind of goes with it. And I want to give like a little marriage lesson in here too. Just mix it in a little bit here. In Job chapter 2, the Bible says, the Lord God said unto Satan, this is verse 3, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? Understand this. It could come a time in your life when you are destroyed without cause. Will you hold your integrity? Just a thought. And Satan answered, the Lord said, yea, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. I want you to hear this. Touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Do whatever you want, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. I want you to see these next couple of verses. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Interesting that Satan is cankering his flesh, and his wife comes and leaves him. Can I help you a little bit with your marriage today? And I am no expert. I am married, but I am no expert at this. But I do know this truth, that when you're married, you are one flesh. Now listen to me. A lot of preachers screw this up because they think that there's a manual out there for the perfect marriage. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You are two unique people. There's nobody in the world like you. Now, that's a lot of people to be not like, okay? And you two unique people, which you are nothing like your wife and your wife is nothing like you, are coming together to make one flesh. You ever take Play-Doh and just, you mix two colors together, what happens? They become one color. It's certainly a different color, but it's two colors coming to one. When you guys get together and you become one flesh, you change. You say, well, I'm not ever going to change. I get married, I'm never going to change.
Yeah. I love you. You won't change.
Just as much as Maria has you in the palm of her hand, your wife has you right here. You say, no way. You just watch. 6 days into the marriage, she's got you doing something you never thought you'd do. Just wait till your bedroom gets decorated. You'll see how much power you have. The wound to Job's flesh that cut the deepest was his wife leaving him. Because if you are one flesh, brother, it's like cutting your arm and your body and your... I can't even describe to you how much it's taking away when the wife betrays the husband and walks out. And let me tell you something, husbands. There's no cut deeper than the husband betraying the wife and walking out. Not one. We've got to think just a little bit better about what our wife and what our husband means to us. Are we one flesh? Are we truly one flesh? Or would we rather be apart? So let me tell you, the Lord's plan is not to be apart. The Lord's plan is to be one flesh. Now, yes, the husband is to lead the wife, but boy, husbands really love that verse a lot. I'm the head of the household. You're acting more like the janitorial crew. Job, I believe, was injured more. I believe he would take boils for an eternity before he would take a wife cutting and running. Curse God and die. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather be stricken with sickness that you couldn't believe than to lose my wife. I would rather lose it all than to lose my wife. And I believe it's very interesting here that Satan has the permission to afflict his flesh, his being. And his wife leaves him here because that's an affliction to your flesh. Let me ask you a question. When you and your wife are fighting, how good do you feel? I'm talking about physically. How good do you feel? You feel tore up inside. I'm going to tell you right now, when I'm in an argument with my wife, oh, It kills my stomach. Can't eat. I'm telling you, it's bad. I'm glad none of you have ever been in arguments with your spouse. You wouldn't know this. I'm telling you, I don't feel good. It affects my flesh. And I think the Lord wants us to know that when you get married, you become one flesh. That's why when you meet with somebody that's been divorced, understand that they've got a wound deeper than you can even imagine. When you meet with somebody that's lost their spouse to death or lost their spouse to blown marriage, I'm going to tell you right now, nothing cuts deeper in your flesh and into your being than that lost loved one. Nothing. But there's liberty in being worthless. Turn back to Job chapter 10. That was just a side note. I won't charge you a dime for that one. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Lord, don't give up on me. What in the world have I done? Have you ever said that? What did I do to deserve this, God? What did I ever do to deserve this? Lord, I'm going through something right now that I'm telling you I don't understand. I don't believe I deserve. I'm a good person. I am a very good person. I'm telling you right now, I'm not. You're worthless, is what you are. But there's nothing wrong with understanding that you are going to get to this place someday. There's nothing wrong with walking here saying, I will say that. Don't condemn me. Just show me where I'm messing up. It is good unto thee that thou should suppress, that thou should despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked. Is it good? Is it good? You're asking God, is it good that you made me? Here I am, you made me. Is it good that you're messing me up right now? Is it good that you're tearing me apart? Is it good that you despise the work of your hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Is it good that you're having the wicked to prosper, yet we suffer? You just need to hear what these words are saying right here. Every one of us have been to this place. And if you haven't, it's coming. Hast thou eyes of flesh? Or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? Who am I that you would search me out, God? I'm nobody. I'm worthless. First nine chapters, God stripped him of all that he had. He stripped him. He took the things away that Job held. And Job, in his own eyes, became worthless. He became as a person that I've got nothing to offer. I'm going to tell you right now, you take somebody that has millions of dollars, they believe they've got something to offer. Think about that for a minute. We, in our own eyes, would love a millionaire to walk right in here and plop money down so we could build our building. We would love that. But understand this, that would mean that that guy has something to offer. It has to be God that brings it. I don't know how he's going to. He could bring a millionaire in here to do that, or he could not. But understand this, I want you to think about you today. I want you to really think about who you are. Because although we can't compare ourselves to Job, please don't. You compare yourself to Job, you lose, okay? Job is unbelievable, the things that he goes through, yet still keeps his composure. But on a lesser scale, there is a time that we deal with these things very real in our lives. We deal with the simple fact that your soul is weary of your life. You deal with the fact that you don't believe that you've got anything to offer God. And let me explain something to you about that. That is not a bad way to feel sometimes. That you have nothing to offer God, because I'm going to tell you right now, you're just the kind of person God likes to get. If you come into the game thinking, hey, I'm the starting quarterback. I need to be here. God, you need me. You're in trouble, because God probably won't use somebody that believes that they're worthy to serve him. There's liberty in being worthless. The rest of this chapter, Job is feeling worthless. Look at chapter 16. Verse 1 and 2. Misery loves company sometimes. because some people are better at destroying your misery than others. Then Job answered and said, verse 1, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. I really appreciate you coming, but you're not making me feel any better here. I'm going to tell you right now, when you're into your lowest low, most of the time friends won't help. Now, hear my words here. One of the worst things you can do when you're in straits like this, when you feel like you just got nowhere to go, you know, friends probably won't help you that much. One, boy, this is tough to say, but one, a lot of your friends don't care. I'm just going to be honest with you. If they cared, they'd try to get you out. But most of your friends really don't care. They just need to hear your misery to make them feel better about how great their life's going right now. I'm glad I'm not that guy. But there is a man that desires to hear what you have to say. The problem is, why is he the last one we seek out? Why would I rather tell Bob Shell, who is my dear friend, who will listen? Bob doesn't talk much. I talk a lot. What a good match. But understand this. Remember what I said before? We've all got problems. He's got problems. Why in the world would he want? Why in the world would me telling him my problems help his problems? We've all got problems to deal with. And because we've got problems to deal with, most of the time our friends can't be a great comfort. Sometimes our friends can help a little, especially friends that have gone through what you're going through. Sometimes that can help. Sometimes it can help that you'll find somebody that has a problem similar to a problem that you've already gone through. Maybe you can help them a little bit with the comfort. But understand this, the majority of the time, the people around you have not gone through what you're going through. They probably can't help. And why is it that we go to the Lord last? We talked about prayer in Sunday school for the last several weeks, it seems like. And prayer is something that's amazing to me, that we take our prayer and only ask for our desires, not necessarily go through our lives with God. Can prayer be a time of reflection? I know I'm skipping around just a little bit, but just please bear with me. Can prayer be a time of reflection on you? Now listen to Job, what he's saying here. I want you to listen to this. And if you go back to chapter 10, he talks about, do not condemn me, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Look, Lord, I must be doing something wrong. And maybe you're not. But man, if you come to God and say, God, show me, please show me why these things are happening. You know, God may not show you, but he may give you peace that it is happening. God is not required to show you anything. But maybe he's taking you through something to help you realize who you are. Maybe he's taking you through something that nobody else can handle, because understand this, just as unique as we are going into marriage, you are unique with the problems that you can handle. God will not give you temptation that you cannot overcome, but you got to understand where it's coming from sometimes, and you got to realize we always blame the devil. Well, the devil's this, the devil's that. You know what? The Lord may be putting you through basic training. The Lord may be putting you through some trials and fires to see if you can handle some things and maybe make you stronger someday. But understand there's great liberty when you come to being worthless. If you look at Job chapter 19, look at verse 1. Job answers his buddies, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? I want you to skip down to 25. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Understand this. You can keep coming after me. You can keep telling me how bad of a person I am. You can keep doing the things that, and you got all the ideas of why these things are happening to me. I love Christians. Boy, they can't wait to tear each other up. Well, bless God, you must have lost that baby because you're an evil person. I'm telling you right now, I'd love to jack the jaw of the guy that ever brought that up. I get so sick and tired of us tearing each other up saying, you're worthless because God can't use you because of all the sin in your life. You look in the mirror, bucko, you got sin in yours too. And what's amazing to me is we are a church, and what a great crowd today. I'm so thankful that we've got a full crowd. We walk into this place sometimes thinking, well, bless God, I'm the greatest in this building right now. It's good. It's just good to be me. If you're lucky, I'll walk around and shake your hand today. If you're lucky. I'll tell you right now, you should want me to shake your hand. We have this misconception that we are something great. Every one of us has it. Do you understand that it's hard for the Lord to use somebody that believes that they're great? I'm not saying that Job ever believed he was great. He was an upright man. He was great in all his ways. It was somebody that God was willing to point out and show off to Satan. And I would just about bet that there's not a person in this room that God would be willing to come down and say, hey, consider my servant Bob Shell, Satan. Consider him. By the way, I hope God never considers me like that, because look at what Satan did to him. I don't want any part of that. But you got to realize something. If you walk around, and this is hard to explain without just being brutally honest. If you walk around caring what other humans think of you, you are going to lead a terrible life. There's only one person that matters in your life that you need to impress. That's God. And let me tell you something. We really can't impress him, because we got to let him work through us. There's liberty in being worthless. I'm starting to get to the point. I'm going to tell you right now, preacher, and I've said this hundreds of times, I don't care. I'm transparent when I preach. I don't care what you think about me. I know I'm worthless. I worked the first 2 or 3 years of my life for him. I wanted to impress him. He was my boss. He is my boss. I don't care about impressing him at all anymore. I don't. I want to impress God. If I impress God, he better be happy, because he serves God. Understand this. Don't worry about impressing Myrtle Dice. She's got her own problems. Don't worry about impressing me. I got lots of problems. I am a sponge. I'm so full of holes. Don't worry about impressing Brother Mark. He doesn't hear or see that good anyways. Understand this. We spend more time caring about what other people think. We spend more time caring about impressing the people that are around us instead of impressing an almighty God. You need to realize, when you look in the mirror, you're looking at somebody that, unless God uses, you're worthless. Well, I can't believe I came to church today and you just called me worthless. I'm glad you're here. I'll do it again. You're worthless. Yet, being worthless. It's amazing to me. This is a feel. When you get low, I want you to go right here. You need to go to this place right here. This is the greatest place you can go. I'm worthless. Yes, I am. And yet, Jesus still died for me. Amen. That's the place you've got to go. You've got to run and say, you know what? Yes, I am worthless. Yes, he was surrounded by multitudes of angels crying, holy, 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 perfect in their beautiful white robes, perfect in their countenance, perfect. And they served God. They never questioned him. They were perfect. And he didn't die for them. He died for worthless. There's great liberty in being worthless. Verse chapter 40. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I love how God answers these clowns. This is tremendous stuff. We're just going to read a few of the verses, but this is good stuff right here. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? Are you going to tell God how to do things?
Think about that for a minute.
He knows everything, front to back. Eternity back, eternity forward. He knows it all. And you're going to tell him, God, you messed up. Are you going to instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. He got himself to worthless. And the Lord said, verse 6, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I want you to get the picture here. I want you to see with me what I saw. You saw a man in the scriptures. His children are dead. He's got graves spread out everywhere. He lots of kids. His livestock's gone. Riches are gone. Wife's gone. Health's gone. Home's gone. You're not there, by the way. Job's there. He's sitting like this, I'm assuming, in a pile of his own ashes. That's pretty sick. Scraping his boils with a potsherd, a piece of sharp pottery that can scrape off the nasty skin. He's doing this. He's in this state. His friends that are not in the same position are instructing him on how bad he is. Thank you so much, friends. I didn't realize I was in bad shape. Thanks for coming along. I needed help to realize I'm scraping myself in vileness. I didn't know that. Thanks. He's sitting here in this state. And the Lord says to him, and by the way, Job has been saying, I'm vile. Did you see the verse? I am vile. Lord God, I've got nothing to offer. Lord God, I am worthless. And the Lord looks down to him with a loving hand and says, get up. Get up. Gird up yourself like a man, because I'm getting ready to use you. I will demand of you. And as you read in the back of Job, he demanded of him. Job came out better than he was in the front. Now listen to me. I hope and pray that none of you lose it all. I believe that's why Paul instructed us to die daily. I believe Paul instructed us to die daily so we can realize who we are. And understand, you might say, well, Brother Dave, I'm going through some problems right now, and you know what? I know they're sinful problems. You know what? God knows they're sinful problems too. I don't think you need your friends to instruct you on your sinful problems. Job didn't have sinful problems. Job had testing problems. And let me explain something to you. Your problems may be testing problems. You may be coming to a point where, you know what, the Lord, here's the thing. Are we getting ready to go move out there, or are we just going to stay here? You got to think about these things, because we've got a great core group of people here that are getting ready to do something great for God. You're a core group of people that's brought, Lord, Brian, the Lord's getting ready to look down at you and say, Brian, get up, gird yourself up like a man, because I'm going to demand of thee. But you've got to be to a place where you realize you're worthless. Because if you believe you're worthy to serve the Almighty God, he can't use you. He can't use somebody that believes they have something to offer. You walk around all the time, I'm depressed, I'm so worthless. Man, glory to God. I'm depressed, I can't get through. I've taken steps forward, but now I've taken steps back. I've taken steps forward, but now I'm further back than I was before. Understand this. Go back. It's okay to go back. Be bad. It's all right. I'm not telling you to go out and sin. Understand this, but understand, in your mind, I have failed you so many times, God. I have failed you, and now I'm far from you. Pray to God and say, Lord, I'm worthless. I am vile. I have nothing of my own. Because you've got to remember what the Bible said in Job earlier. Job said it right. The Lord formed me. The Lord, he made me. I'm his creature. I belong to him. If you're saved in here today, you're his child. And if you don't think that God wants to use you, you don't read any scripture. Because God desires to use the worthless. There's fantastic liberty in being worthless. There's fantastic freedom in having nothing to offer. If you go into life, why do we wear the clothes that we wear? To impress other people. Why do we do the things that we do to impress other people? I had a lovely, lovely cancerous bout with it's not cancer, I shouldn't say that. We have this status symbol that the world looks at that is Aeropostale. And there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, there's nothing wrong with an Aeropostale sweatshirt. But it's why we do it that is the problem. Because what it becomes is, if you don't have one of those on, you're not in. If you don't belong to that crowd, you're not a good person, or you're not this. I've got to live up to the status quo of this world today. I've got to make myself worth something. It's amazing that God works just the opposite of the world. It's amazing that He doesn't care what you want to do for this world. He it means nothing to Him. He wants you to do something for Him, what His desire is. It matters not what you think that you ought to be to the world. It matters what you ought to be to God. Yet we blow most of our life and waste most of our life just determined to impress man, when we should give our life to God and do our very dead level best to be worth something to Him. There's fantastic liberty in being worthless. Somebody looks you in the eye and says, you know what, you're not worth much. Thank God. Because I can let God use me and make me into something. I've often thought about this. If we would give our life to the Lord completely, just offer it completely to Him. I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, just give Him the reins. God, do whatever you want. I wonder what we'd become. Do you ever think about that? What would you become? I can't live without my current job. Really? Please don't quit your job, especially in this community, in this economy. But I wonder what God could do with you if you'd offer yourself to Him. If you'd become worthless to yourself and become worth something to God. There's fantastic liberty in being worthless. I've talked to people just in the last couple weeks. And they've said to me, Brother Dave, I've worked so hard to try to do things right and try to do things better and try to make myself better. And it seems like every time I move forward, I just don't seem to be growing fast enough. Understand this, and I'll use this illustration, and I'll be all done. If you look at trees, I've used this illustration a lot. If you look at trees, which ones seem to always be down in the storms? It always seems to be the ones that grow the fastest. I want you to think with me for a minute. It doesn't take pine trees very long to grow. It doesn't take willow trees very long to grow. It doesn't take maple trees very long to grow. It seems like every time a storm comes through, there's branches of those babies laying all over the place. The pine trees seem to blow over when the wind comes. But you ever think about an oak tree? It takes forever for an oak tree to grow. I mean forever. You very, very seldom see an oak tree on the ground. Unless there's cancer within, or unless there's some bugs take over, whatever. But if an oak tree just is left to grow, it's amazing how big and strong those trees get, because it takes them so long to grow. When you first get saved, take your time growing, and I'll tell you why. Because the majority of the time, when you're taking steps of growth, it's not steps of growth that are helping you to grow, it's steps of growth to impress other people. Bless God, I'm going to come to church every single day with a tie on because I want to show my preacher I can wear a tie. I hate ties. Amen. I would to God the guy that invented would hang himself with one. Now, we're preachers. We try to live to a higher standard to not be a stumbling block. But understand this. If you grow and do things for man, that growth is not good growth. It's too fast. And I'm going to tell you right now, I watched a very good friend of mine grow like a weed. He came in and went, woohoo, everything was great, fantastic, grew up real fast, and now he's out of church. because he grew so fast and it got convictions coming out of his ears. I'm so tired of convictions. I'm going to tell you right now, get your convictions from God, not from man. You pray to the Almighty God, tell me, Lord, you convict me on what you want me to be convicted on. I'll tell you why. If you're a murderer, you don't get convicted for rape unless you did rape. Because that's a problem you've got, is murdering people, so you get convicted of it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a problem with rock music, the Lord will probably convict you on rock music because you need the conviction. I'm going to tell you right now, convictions are your own. Right here. If it's a doctrinal issue, we got a problem. But if it's a conviction issue, it's your issue with God. It's nobody else's business but yours. Nobody else's business but yours and God's. You deal with God on your... The problem is we never deal with God. The problem is we never get to a spot where we ask God, what should I be convicted about? We never get to a spot where we ask God, Lord, you help me. We never get to a spot. We find ourselves in chains. We find ourselves in bondage every single day by what this world wants from us. We find ourselves in bondage and we can't break free because we can't get to a spot where we need God's help. There's fantastic liberty in being worthless. Fantastic liberty in knowing that you need your Savior for more than just a prayer time blessing. You need your Savior for more than just thanking God for the Chipotle salmonella that you got. I wonder if any of those people that got salmonella from Chipotle prayed before their food. Just a thought. We use God when he's convenient. We do. We stand here and revere ourselves in wondrous words for prayer in front of everyone. And yet we never speak to him one-on-one at home. We never get to that spot where we're scraping off our boils. We never get to the spot where we've gone to our friends and they can't help. We've gone to us, we can't help. We went to our spouse, they couldn't help. We never get to worthless. And what's amazing is we never get to the spot where we want to be tested. We never get to a spot where we desire to be used. We would rather, and how many have said this, just come to church, I just want to be a member. I really don't want to be used in a great way. I don't want to be used to clean a toilet or to clean the baptistry, or I don't really want to be used to do anything. I just want to be here. That's not being worthless. I'm going to tell you right now, God bought you with a price. He bought your worthless carcass with his own life. There is fantastic liberty in being worthless. There's fantastic liberty in realizing that, you know what, Brother Coolidge? Your ministry in the jail with Miss Diane is not going to be successful unless you're worthless. Think about it. I want you to think with me. That is a true statement. Our bike run was not successful unless we were worthless. And you had people out here that prayed for it and desired and knew that if they offered anything, that it would not go well. But they just literally showed up and God used them in great and mighty ways to which they gave God all the glory. We talk about the success of the school. 63 kids. Can you imagine that? Do you realize what is happening at Bethel Baptist Christian Academy? That's insane. We were just 8 kids 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago, we were 8 kids, 2 teachers, me and Mrs. Hill. We now have 6 full staff, 63 kids, and we are begging God for a building fast. Do you remember what I told you when we very first started? Give God all the glory, no matter what. Do you realize that God has gotten all the glory all the way? There's never been a time, let me tell you something, I am worthless. I've never done anything like this. If you think it's, get out of here. I'm offering nothing. If it's not God, it's not going to get done. You've got to get to a place in your life where you decide, you know what, I'm going to plug myself into a worthless state so God can use it and make me worthy to him. Because I've got nothing to offer, God. I've got nothing. I'm dust. I'm clay. I'm worthless. But there's great liberty where I'm at because I know that where I'm here, you can use me. I'm going to tell you right now, there's wonderful, wonderful liberty in being worthless. One more verse. Chapter 42 and verse 7. I want you to see this, and we're going to talk about prayer. And I want to show you what has happened. In verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job, my servant Job, my servant Job, my worthless servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. Not the 3 friends that thought they were great. Not the 3 friends that thought they were something. Not the 3 friends that tried to instruct Job. Not the 3 friends that thought they knew God. Not the 3 friends that came with something to offer. Job, the worthless one, him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite, whatever he is, went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. Look what happens in verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. What was Job's first act when he became used of God as a worthless servant? He prayed for others. Let me tell you something right now. This is good stuff. You become worthless, you pray for others. God turns your captivity. Now look, he was rewarded, but I got to be honest with you. The reward is not what you're after. You got to come to grips with that. You're not asking God, I'm going to pray for my friends so I get twice as much as I had before. That's not why you're in it. The Lord did that for him, but let me tell you something. That's not why you do the things that you do for God. Because your reward's waiting for you over there, not here. Right. Don't want your reward now. Don't want to say, well, I bless God, I pray for my friends. I pray for them 30 times a day. You should reward me greatly. Don't look for the reward. Look for the reward in eternity. Amen. He became worthless. He prayed for his friends. I would have loved to hear that prayer. They tore the hide off him. For 20 odd, some odd chapters, they tore the hide off him. Lord, please bless my friends. Help them to understand what you've shown me. And God turned his captivity. He said, no more. Do you have to live through some of the things you live? You have passed the test, Job. You have passed the test. Let me turn your captivity. Let me use you in a great way. And I'm going to tell you right now, prove it. Prove that you used him in a great way. I'm pretty sure the book of Job has helped uncounted people throughout the years. I think he made the worthless servant and the worthless servant's life something special for all of us. And I'm not telling you that you get a place in this book, because this book's written. You're done. It's done right here. Understand this. Your life can be read by hundreds and thousands that are alive today if you can make yourself worthless and find liberty in being worthless. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for desiring to use the worthless. I thank you so much, Lord, that you have made us worthy through you. Lord, you cared enough about us and loved us enough to give us your only begotten Son. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you still offer that same sacrifice to the people today. You still desire. You don't know what I've done, Brother David. I've done so many things. You know what, the Lord, I want you to call out to them today. Call out to the people that think that they can't be saved. Call out to them and show them, yes, you're worthless, but yes, I love you. Call out to them today. Call out to the people. Let them know how easy it is to be saved. It's something you just have to come to grips with, that Jesus Christ died. He came down to this earth. He died for you according to the scriptures. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. He did that so you could believe in him. Lord, call out. Call out to the people today. Use your Holy Spirit to sweep across this place. And if there's one that doesn't know you, Savior, Lord, don't let them leave this building until they do. Lord, there's great liberty in being worthless. There really is. Because, Lord, you died for the worthless. You died for those that had nothing to offer. Lord, please help us today. Help us to seek you out. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The cross where Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim as yours. Your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure. Eternity can't measure what Jesus holds in store. Cross requires, cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only he can fashion your heart to move as his. Oh, wondrous cross, our desires rest in you. O Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with courage the shame and disgrace you bore upon your shoulders. Embrace the life that comes from dying. Come trace the steps the Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endure then till tomorrow your cross of suffering. Embrace the cross, embrace the cross of Jesus.